I was praying this week about how to begin today because it's such a powerful day and a powerful story for us. And it, of course, forms the bedrock of our faith. It's why we're here, the resurrection of Christ and that invitation to us. And I was thinking about what to say, and the first thing that popped into my head is the conversations I've had over Lent with cups of coffee with you. If you've been with us over Lent, I resolved to have 40 cups of coffee with members of friends of First Methodist Houston that I did not know. And boy, can I say, I'm glad that's over. Not because of you, but because I'm a little jittery even still. That's an awful lot of caffeine to take in. And you know, I knew I had had a lot of cup of coffee when the owners of Toot Sweet in East Downtown were saying my name and greeting me personally as I walked in the door, which has become, I think, First Methodist Houston East. If you're there, wave. You know friends and church members there with you. But I was thinking about the conversations that I had. I've had conversations with skeptics, with saints. I've had cups of coffee with people who are gay, who are straight, who are bisexual. I've had cups of coffee with people from five continents, okay? I've had cups of coffee with people who are Republicans and Democrats. Can you believe the Lord loves them and works through both? The nervous laughter gives away your skepticism, doesn't it? I've had cups of coffee with people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Impressive. I've had a cup of coffee in a hospital room with a woman who was on the border of faith, shall we say, who just recovered from brain surgery. And I had a cup of coffee with her and her dad in the hospital room, and we talked about a lot. I share that with you just because it's when we read a passage like this, to me, anybody can tell a story. It's another thing entirely to live it out. And that is what we are called to do in this thing called the church, is to live it out. And I am just blown away. I have to tell you, I am so humbled. Every time I see the width and breadth and height and majesty and spectrum and diversity of what our Lord is attempting to do at this place called First Methodist Houston. It's astonishing. And so next year, I think what I'm going to do is, I think I may try to auction off, spend a week with Andy. And I want you to be a pastor at First Methodist Houston for a week, just a week. And I think there would be such benefits to that. For one, you'd be so much nicer to your pastors. Because you'd go, oh my gosh, look at what's going on here. Look at the spectrum of people. And the thing about faith is that like in churches is that, you know, when people talk to you, they're talking about their most precious possession, their most intimate thoughts, their deepest expressions. It's such holy ground, a conversation of faith takes place on. And I think it would just so, your spectrum of what God is doing at First Methodist Houston is amazing. So I think it would be so good for all of us. And the other reason I say that is because I know that, you know, it's Easter Sunday. And so it's, we see people we haven't seen in a while. And so I'm coming after you. I want you to come back. So if you were here last week, just tune out for about 5 minutes, get on your phone, play a game, doesn't matter. I want to talk to the rest of y'all for just a second. I want you to come back. I think it's so important. I think you should. Not only should you come back, you should come back to First Methodist Houston because there is such a chance to practice your faith in an extraordinary way in this church. And I say that in complete honesty. There is. It's amazing. Now I want to warn you. You know, if you want to go to a church or be a part of a church where people are just like you, that's not us. You should go somewhere else if you want that. But if you want a church where you're going to meet people who challenge you, if you want a church where you're going to hold the hand of somebody who could be the CEO or the homeless, and the chances are about either, 50-50, both would happen on the same day. If you want to be a church, a part of a church that really is trying to be a church that looks like the city it serves, with Houston being the most diverse city in our country, First Methodist Houston is trying to take this on, and it's challenging. It is. It's difficult. When you think about just the diversity of just how people think about the church and who we are at First Methodist Houston. And it's extraordinary when you step into it. And I want to encourage you just to be a part. One person I was having coffee with said he was kind of a skeptic, and we're actually at Toot Suite, East Downtown, and he looked across the table at me and goes, "Andy, I'm not sure I believe a word of what you say. I'm just not a believer in organized religion." And I said, "You're not a believer in organized religion?" He goes, "No, I'm not." And I said, "Well, then you'll love First Methodist Houston. It is the farthest thing from organized religion we've ever seen." And it's because of the challenges Jesus is giving us. I think Jesus is looking down from heaven at Houston and going, "I wonder when they're going to get it. I wonder when they're going to put it all together." Because I think his thought is not doctrinal. It's not dogmatic. It's the thought that a father has for their children. And that the thing I've learned over this Lent is that as I've met all these people from all these places, all these stories, heard how, you know, all the places that folks have come from, the thing I've walked away from each one saying is, it's amazing to me how Jesus is trying to reach us all of us. And the story that we tell today is a story for us all of humanity turns to God, feels pulled to God by the power of this story. And the thing is, no matter who it is in the scriptures, it takes multiple glimpses, even just to get a fraction of it. I mean, the disciples, they run to the tomb after hearing, or Mary Magdalene, they run to the tomb, but one doesn't quite want to enter, right? There's hesitation. Could this really be going on? Peter enters, but of course the question is, does he get it? Does he put it all together? No, and he steps away. And Mary Magdalene has to have multiple conversations, you know, with the angel and then with the gardener, who she thinks is the gardener. And it takes multiple kind of glimpses to even begin to get it. And I think that is just the nature of the resurrection itself. We see flashes, we get indication, the Holy Spirit clues and draws us forward, and the more and more and more we step into the story, we realize that the resurrection isn't so much an event that we witness, it's an invitation that we accept. And as we step into it, we're changed. As we enter into it, our hearts move. We see things differently. We meet people we did not know before. We serve in ways we never would have considered doing before. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves being shaped by the power of the resurrection and Christ himself. You see, it's not an event. It's more than that. It's an invitation. And so I pray it be one that you, each of you, would accept. Don't settle for just being a spectator to what God is doing in the world. It's wonderful to watch. It's entertaining theater in some ways. But it is so much more to enter into it. And when we do so, we are changed. And what happens is, or what I think the mistake we make is that so many times we see something amazing going on, and what we simply do is settle for watching rather than just being a part. And the funny thing to me, and it's not funny because it's a bit tragic, is that we're so hungry for a relationship with God and each other like that, where we are full participants in God's love for us, our love for God, and we are fully engaged with loving our neighbor, and they love us in return. It's powerful. We can't just watch. Again, I watch the world, and I think so many times we're so hungry for a deep and meaningful relationship with God and one another. I see signs of it all the time. Last week I mentioned, and you know, we've watched the Final Four coming into shape. And unfortunately, the infidels from Michigan prevailed over the saints from Loyola Chicago. And anyway, we'll have to mourn these things, I suppose. But it's been so amazing to me watching Sister Jean take off, isn't it? I saw her press conference, and you would have thought it would be a high and mighty political person. You would have thought it would have been, you know, LeBron James, or you would have thought it'd be Jose Altuve or somebody like that in Houston. Just all these cameras, and it's this 98-year-old nun, right? And she's trending on Twitter. Get out. I was reading a story about her, and they said a Loyola Chicago licensed her, and I don't know how I feel about this. I'll tell the story without judgment. They sold her image to a bobblehead company. And the bobblehead company sold more Sister Jean bobbleheads in a shorter period of time than any time in their history. I thought about this. Maybe we need pastoral bobbleheads at First Methodist Houston. You could ask it a question. Should I pray more? Yes, you should. Should I tithe? Yes, you should. Should I? Anyway, this could be fun. I don't know if it'd be the road to heaven, but everybody would know First Methodist Houston. Oh, you're the bobblehead church. That's. But it's just, you know, when I see things like that, and they are silly to watch. I mean, when you just think about them, they're just kind of ridiculous is the truth of it. But I think they are also expressions just of a tremendous hunger. And a deep spiritual need that we have, you have, I have, that our nation has, and we're just watching it just express itself. There's such a want to feel that God is connected to me, and that I have, through God's grace, this capacity to love someone and have someone love me in the purest and strongest, most possible way. I think we want that fiercely. And the message of today is, the means to it is here. Why should you follow Jesus? Why is it so important to be a Christian? I suppose you can answer it in many ways, and they'd be correct, but I would suffice to say maybe the simplest way is to follow Jesus is to feel what it is to be loved by God and through God's grace, each other. And whenever you hold the hand of somebody who loves you and they squeeze it and you squeeze it back, we all know what that feels like. And it's the most wonderful feeling of heaven that there is on the earth. And I texted my kids early this morning, a happy Easter. Our daughter is working. Our son's a college student, which means he won't be up for several hours. And so it's still early in Colorado. But as I'm hitting send on my drive in to come do the services on the West Campus, I feel my heart twinge. I love them. What can I say? But it's more than that. It's like I love them, and I hope that they feel the love of God. I hope that they feel our love for them as mom and dad. I just hope their lives are surrounded by a love, because that has such a strength to conquer absolutely anything, hate, injustice, jealousy, envy, whatever it is that gets in our way. And it even has the power to conquer death itself. And when we experience that, following Jesus, it becomes easy. My wife and I were talking last night. We went to the Houston Symphony with some friends, and I was a little nervous about that, because Saturday night before Easter, that's you know, I'm usually getting nervous. But I thought, why would I just do that? Why not go and enjoy the symphony? I can get nervous later. And we're having a conversation, because it was Stravinsky, and it was some of the Psalms, very these tortured passages. God, I'm so struggling, and I'm going through this difficult place, this wilderness. I feel so lost and abandoned by you. Where are you in the midst of my search? And so we're watching this, or listening to this, and we're driving back, and Deborah says, that's not easy. I said, no, it's never to feel, or never easy to feel somebody in anguish at all. And she said, following God is not easy. And I said, yeah, it's not, It takes some kind of us overcoming some obstacles, maybe. It takes us thinking with a different part of our brain sometimes. It takes us feeling with our heart as much as with our heads. There are some things about coming to faith that are a little difficult. But I'd say this. Once you feel the love of Christ in you, once it moves, once you feel your heart melt, just once, or if you go and you serve, you know, the homeless and you give a cup of water like Jesus said to somebody who's thirsty and you watch them drink it, once you feel it, following Christ is the easiest thing in the world for this simple reason. Nowhere else this side of heaven on earth will you move or be moved in such a powerful way. And one of the gifts of First Methodist Houston is that there are so many ways to experience what Christ is trying to do. And I say it all the time. If you want to do what Jesus did, if you want to reach out to the last, the least, the lost, if you want to serve, if you want to give, if you want to follow Christ, this is a church, this is a place where everything that Jesus did in these Gospels, you can do. The only question is, do you want to follow him like that? Because again, we can witness the resurrection, we can watch it, we can put it on a screen and separate it from us, or we can realize that the resurrection is an invitation for us to live like him. And it's that that I hope we see. Again, I see it all the time. It's on Tuesday. It's Easter's kind of been it's a bit of a sprint for the church staff, and it's a lot of work. We've done a lot of services. And yesterday out of the West Campus, we had, oh gosh, about 1,000 kids hunting Easter eggs. I mean, it's just been a big week in the life of our church. So Tuesday is worship planning day. And I told our worship planning team, pastors and musicians and other folks, I said, I want to take you all and I'm going to take you my tree and we're going to go see Black Panther on Tuesday morning. And I said, well, why are we going to do that? And I said, well, we could use a break. And nobody argued that. Then somebody asked me, he's like, why are we going to see Black Panther? I said, well, it's kind of a big movie. And it's, you know, and I saw it the other day. And it's kind of hit the box office a little stronger than folks thought. And that always tells me it's got some things that people are hungry for. Question is what? And I started thinking about it. It's like, in our culture, we've seen all these hero movies. They're all upon us. And we've seen them forever. You know, Spider-Man and Superman, Black Panther's the latest manifestation. It's like, why are these movies so appealing to us? And it's, I think, for the simple reason that in the comic book hero, we see people who are like us, but also not like us. We see people who are like us and that they're caught up, they're hung up, they have weaknesses and frailties, but then they become something beyond themselves. And that is the allure of what they offer us. And while that can be a cultural thing and while that can, you know, play out and we'll see this movie and then there'll be another a few weeks from now, I'm sure. But the idea of transformation is a truth that they've laid onto, with the exception that in this man Jesus, it can be a change that lasts. And it's not based on a suit that you wear or something that you know or a ring that you put on. It's based on a relationship that you have. And it guides us and shapes us, because now that this Jesus is risen from the dead, he's going to talk to you. He's going to appear to you. He's going to say things to you. And I was having a cup of coffee with someone who was a skeptic again a few weeks ago. And they said, Andy, I hear you say that all the time, that God talks to you. He said, does that really happen? I said, yes, it really does. And he said, well, what would you say about that? And I said, well, it helps if you know the scripture, because it tells you where to look. Jesus never appears front and center and says, Andy, preach this, do this. I wish he did. That'd be so easy, you know? But he appears at the margins. He appears on the side. And so when you know the story and when you hear the scripture and when you understand the places Jesus went and that when you do the things that Jesus did, that's when he appears. And so he's looking at me, he says, do you really believe that? I said, yes, I really do. And he said, I haven't read the Bible. He said, should I? I said, yes. He said, but I haven't. I said, that's okay. He said, I've heard you advertising that Bible 101 class. Should I go? I said, yes. Go, for no other reason. It isn't so much to get the context of what's in the story, although that's part of it. It tells you where to look. And it tells you where the relationship is. It tells you where the doors are, or if you will, to knock on so that Christ can open them and you can step in. And those are the kind of experiences we should be searching for. The resurrection of Jesus is more than just an event that we witness. It's an invitation that we accept. And I pray that each of us would do that in some way this Easter morning. To say, it's not enough just to watch. It's not enough just to hear. It's not enough just to know. I want to live this out. And if you and I say yes to that today, what will happen is this. When we celebrate at Jesus' table, he will speak to us. When we celebrate and take in the body and blood of Christ and he becomes literally part of us, our hearts will move. And if our eyes and ears and minds and hearts are open as the Holy Spirit begins to stir, you will know that Christ died and rose for you. And it is the beginning, or will be the beginning, of a relationship that will guide and shape you and ultimately save you all the days, the rest of your life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray this morning that we've been being made ready. We pray that we've been being made ready to receive you. Whether it's through the music that we hear or sing, whether it's through the words we say or understand, whether it is through the prayers that each of us offer, all of this is done is simply to wipe our slates clean, to receive your forgiveness, to quiet us so that we might listen and understand, so that we might receive your word. Prepare us, O Lord, so that we might be people who truly enter in to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, fully exchanging our life for his, knowing that through our forgiven sins, through our new creation, for the life that we are given, we will have a chance to live in you. And that is the only life on earth or in heaven that is worth living. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and as God's people, the Holy Church, we say together, amen.